Welcome to HR Trends. I'm your host, Claire Morin. Today, our conversation is around leave, the ADA, and return to work. We have two legal powerhouses with us. We have Darris Freeman and Tamika Newson, both of whom are assistant vice presidents and legal counsel for Unum's Employment Law Group. You may have seen them on May 20th in a live event hosted by Human Resource Executive, where they were in discussion with Jeff Novak of Littler Mendelsohn, a renowned employment lawyer also. It was a really interesting 30-minute discussion of the key challenges employers are facing right now. We're going to link to it in our show description. But we wanted to bring in Tamika and Darris to just touch on some of those key insights. And I'm going to just read a short disclaimer that this program is not intended to constitute legal advice, and it's for general educational purposes only. If you need legal advice for a certain situation, please contact your own attorney. And with that, Darris, I wonder if we can begin with you and the question of remote work. So clearly, during the pandemic, a lot of employees were working at home, possibly across state lines. They may have relocated to other states. This is bringing up a lot of complexity right now for employers of dealing with the complexity of the state leave laws. Can you walk us through some of the complexities and the accommodations that you're seeing?
Yeah, Claire. So I think it's been a really big challenge for a lot of employers, as most if not all, of the leave laws on the books were written in a time before really remote work was something that we thought about. So they all kind of assumed a physical work location for employees. So many laws don't even address how to handle remote workers. And so employers are left trying to figure out, okay, so say my employee normally works in New York City, that's where my office is, but we sent everybody home during the pandemic, so they're working from their home across the state line in New Jersey. Are they subject to New Jersey leave laws or New York leave laws? And what dictates that? And especially not only during the pandemic, but as we come out of the pandemic, and I think we'll talk about that a little bit on this podcast, is, okay, as we bring people back to work, maybe it's in that kind of hybrid space and they're working in both states in some cases. So how's that going to play out? But I think, a lot of employers, we need to make sure we're looking beyond the leave laws. I think that's definitely an important piece that they have to consider. But also, as we think about what is an employee's work state, not just for leave laws, but it's going to impact things like workers' compensation and unemployment taxes and paid leave laws, right? My New Jersey, New York example was a perfect example. Those both have paid family medical leave insurance programs where employees are paying in contributions to a program and then filing for benefits through the state program. So which state program are they subject to? So that decision about a workplace extends far beyond just the traditional unpaid leave laws that we've thought about in the past. My advice to employers at this point is definitely to get with their counsel because of those broad-reaching impacts. But they also, and through their counsel and through their own research, they'll find some states have issued some pretty clear guidance on it. New York is one of them. I know Washington State is one of them, that has issued guidance around if this is a temporary move, and if when they went to work at home, they were expected to come back to the office, they're still expected to come back to the office, then maybe that original office work state remains in place through the duration. Some states have not issued guidance. So that's something, like I said, they really have to work through with their counsel, thinking about all the impacts of a decision like that in order to make the right decisions for them, for their employees, and to ensure some consistency in how they're arriving at those decisions.
Right. It's such a good point, because before the pandemic, the leave laws were already complex, right? But to your point, like the working world has quite fundamentally shifted. And all, like you said, all these laws were written with a different reality in mind. Tamika, do you have anything to add to that?
I think the only thing I would add is just, you know, from a practical perspective, this puts a heavy, heavy burden on employers and other like third party administrators like ourselves to make sure we know where people are, where they're working, and that the information is up to date. And that's one of those things that employers usually don't have to think about so hard or to keep track of as regularly. But, you know, we talk about remote work, and some people change states, but some people jumped countries. I mean, we need to know where people are, what work they're doing, and put some parameters around what the employer is going to allow, just so that they can manage the leave laws. You know, we probably don't want to be managing leaves in the UK. So we need to know exactly where people are working. And that's just a practical piece of this that I think adds a whole lot of work and consideration on the employer side and the third party administrator side, just to make sure we're maintaining compliance with these multiple areas of law.
That is so helpful. And I wonder, you know, continuing that conversation around workplaces that are now starting to reopen, so the head office and so on, as people, some people may be returning to the workplace in the coming months. Tamika, what are some of the key regulations they should be keeping in mind in light of the ADA and the EEOC also?
So the first thing I like to tell people is that the ADA is still the ADA. It has not changed. The same requirements of a person being qualified individual with a disability still apply as we look at these standards. But within that, we also have the issue of direct threat analysis, which is what has applied to this whole COVID issue, because COVID was deemed a direct threat by the EEOC. That's what allowed us to ask all of the questions about, are you having symptoms, and are you being vaccinated? So the big question that most employers are having to consider right now is, are they going to mandate vaccinations for people returning to work? Are they not going to mandate vaccinations? If they're not thinking about mandates, how are they going to treat vaccinated employees when they return to work? Are they going to treat them any differently than they treat unvaccinated employees? And within that, are they creating any situations that cause other discrimination claims to arise? So it's a really intricate web and path that employers have to consider in terms of how they're going to treat these individuals as they return to work. Getting people back to work in and of itself is going to be a challenge for those reasons as well, because there are a lot of people who are saying, I am vaccinated and I still don't want to return because I know there are going to be unvaccinated people there and I don't want to take that risk. So there's a lot going on in this area with the ADA and with these considerations of vaccinations. And, you know, I wish I had this is exactly what you should do and a kind of answer. But the real answer to best practices and things that are going on right now is just stay tuned and stay engaged in the conversation, because things are changing and we're learning more every day about what's required, what employers are going to expect, and what employees are going to kick back on.
Just on that note, Tamika, are there any best practices on how employers could practically do this and sort of lead their return to work strategy? Any insights you could share?
Yes, there are a few things that we would recommend. We don't want to leave people feeling like this is a hopeless situation. But one of the things that we recommended is just that employers take a look at their in-work accommodation options and really think about ways that you could allow people to return to work and still feel safe in that environment. So in those cases, if you have a 6 feet distance between desks is one good thing. If you have a mask requirement still that you want to keep in place, you know, there are a lot of options and ways, and the CDC and OSHA have outlined some guidelines as well that you could continue to maintain in the workplace that might make people feel safer to come back to work and would also qualify as an ADA accommodation in some instances for those who say that they need to be in a safe environment at work. So looking at in-work accommodations is definitely something I think is a good place to start when you're thinking about a return to work strategy. And then the other thing I would recommend is that you take a look at temporary work from home arrangements, and hopefully you've been clear about your the fact that it is temporary with the employees who are working from home, who are not going to be working from home permanently, and any job descriptions that are associated with those employees to make sure that it's clear that working from home is temporary, number one, but then working in the office is also an essential job function, because that's something else that the ADA would look at to determine whether or not someone really does need to be working in the office. If it's not an essential job function, then it becomes more of a question when you've had people working from home and they've been working successfully in their eyes or in the eyes of some others, that, you know, why do I need to come back to work? So in terms of making the request and what you're requiring them to do, making sure all of those things are consistent and that there's a good basis for having people come back to the office. Those are the things that I would suggest that you just start with. But like I said, there's so many things that are going on now and so many moving parts. That's just what we know now.
And Tamika, the one other thing I would say is, as I heard you talk about temporary work from home arrangements, you know, as employers bring employees back to work, I think they may find that there are certain positions that really do work well from home, and maybe they aren't necessarily going to require them to come back in the office. But what they'll want to think about, right, is the fact that when we were doing temporary work from home arrangements, a lot of employers, we didn't have maybe formal plans to make sure they had private spaces and what the rules are, right, when you're a permanent work from home type employee. So I think even for those they don't bring back to the office, there's another body of work potentially for employers to make sure they've got formal plans in place if they are going to allow a permanent work from home situation.
Well, we're so grateful to have you both around here at Unum. And thank you for coming on the show. We're certainly going to bring you back. As you say, this isn't going to be a simple return to work for employers and for employees. One thing just to mention again, an amazing Human Resource Executive live event featuring Tamika and Darris, and also Jeff Novak, who's a very well-known employment lawyer and author of the FMLA Insights blog. You can link through to it from our show description. Watch them have an even more far-ranging conversation. So thank you both so much, and stay well.
Thank you, Claire.
Thank you.
Unum is a registered trademark and marketing brand of Unum Group and its insuring subsidiaries.